Would you turn again to Acts chapter 16, where we read earlier in the service? You may have remembered a couple of weeks ago, I said that we were going to be looking at these three cases of conversion that come before us from the pen of Luke in the book of Acts. And a couple of weeks ago, we considered the conversion of Lydia. And we noticed that it was in a quiet setting while she was listening to the word of God down there by the river's edge, where Paul had gone to that prayer meeting and began to preach. The Spirit of God worked in her life. And while she was listening, the Lord just gently opened her heart. And while he did that, he enabled her to receive the things that were spoken by the preacher, the Apostle Paul. So there was a tranquil, serene setting for that conversion. But things are different tonight. There's more going on here, as we have read. I'm sure you've noticed. There's been a satanic influence in the life of this young damsel girl who has got wonderfully converted. There was a tremendous work of grace in her life. And it's great to know there's such a thing as the new birth, where people can be made anew by the Spirit of God, by the blood of the Lamb. It's lovely to hear the account of testimonies from time to time here. And even, it may not be always at a meeting, but just engaging people in conversation, it's tremendous to know that these people have had the miraculous work of God experienced in their lives. And we're going to look at this wee lassie tonight in Acts chapter 16 and see her conversion. And I want us to notice some detail about that. First of all, I want you to notice the occupation she suffered. Notice verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. This spirit of divination, this soothsaying, tells us that this young lady was occupied by a demonic force, an evil spirit. In fact, if you have a margin to your Bible, you'll see there at the word of beside divination, translated into the margin, it says, or of Python. And Python was a snake, a serpent, associated with the god Apollo. And people believed that this woman here, that Apollo would have spoken through her. And she was deceiving the people by telling fortunes and by what's called divination and soothsaying. The young lady herself would probably not have known what she was saying because she was under the control of this evil spirit. And you can notice right away the tyranny that she faced. To be possessed with a demonic spirit, a demonic force, must be a terrible thing. And it can bring disappointment. It can bring a terrible state of mind into people that are so affected by this. And of course, not only was it the tyranny that she faced, but there was the iniquity that she practiced. She was telling fortunes, and she was doing it for money, and she was lining the coffers of her masters. And the word master there is the word for slaveholder. This wee girl was a slave girl, and she was caught in this awful web. And that, of course, would have brought her misery to feel as well. And it can't be anything else when she's under the control of a satanic force and under the control of men who are using her in profiteering in order to further their own ends. I want to say to you tonight, and especially young people here, do not be tampering with anything occultic. Stay away from reading horoscopes. Stay away from experimenting or dabbling in seances. Have nothing to do with anything that's associated with witchcraft or the occultic world. I'd like, if you've got your Bible with you, all of you, to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and see how God warns against this. He was speaking to the children of Israel, telling them what they were to do and what they were not to do whenever they were coming in to the new land that was promised to them. And there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, we begin at verse 9 and read these verses. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Could anything be more clear? Stay away from anything that has to do with the occult and have nothing to do with anything that's associated with witchcraft or spiritism or these black arts. There was a preacher, he preached in Dallas in Texas many years ago, and he was putting an advert in the paper to preach on this very thing from Acts 16. And he said, I will show you from God's word how it is wrong to dabble in spiritism. And one day after the newspaper came out, there was a knock at the door, and this gentleman came to see the preacher. And he said, I've come to speak to you and say that you shouldn't be so hard on the other churches. And the preacher that was going to preach on the subject said, why? He said, in reply, the man did, my wife is the pastor of the First Church of the Spiritists in Dallas. And he handed the preacher his wife's card. Her name was Madame Zelma. And on it said, could be a healer and tell the future. And the preacher said to the man, why is she not here to speak to me herself? The other man said, oh, my wife's lying at home, unwell, and she's got a very bad attack of rheumatoid inflammation in her bones. Isn't that strange? A person who purports to heal the sick couldn't come herself to see a preacher to tell him not to preach against her because she was lying unwell. That same preacher heard about someone in Alabama, which is away on the other side of the United States of America, and there was a street there that had these rooms, different houses with different rooms and signs outside about palm reading and about fortune telling. And the preacher looked in, and he noticed when he looked into one of these places, he looked into several of them, he saw rooms with beds in them. And he asked another man who lived in the area, what was the meaning of all of this? And the man replied, you see those fortune tellers, those people that are involved in the occult, many of those ladies are prostitutes as well as plying their other trade. So you can see the wickedness that's bound up in this spiritism, these black arts. And the Bible warns us about having anything to do with this. This is one of the reasons, in fact, it's cited as the reason why Saul died the terrible death that he did. Let me read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom into David the son of Jesse. You may remember the time he went to that woman who had the familiar spirit. You get the detail in 1 Samuel 28 when Saul visited the witch of Endor. Have nothing to do with this, young people or older people. alike. The occupation that she suffered. But notice secondly about this young lady, the vexation that she caused. Notice what we read in verse 16 of Acts chapter 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Notice this vexation. Paul, what this wee girl was doing with the preacher, preached about it. Now, what was the cause of his vexation? The cause was this. This wee lassie, under demonic influence, was showing patronage or patronage to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to the Lord's work. And Paul wasn't asking for satanic acknowledgement of the Lord's work. Why should he? Whenever the devil is always against the Lord's work, only he'll go along with it when it suits his nefarious purposes. Now, this vexed the apostle. And we read away back in one of the Psalms where God says as much in the Old Testament, Psalm 50. Let me read these words to you in verses 16 and 17 of Psalm 50. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? What business have you declaring my word? God was against it. And Paul knew that. And this wee girl was coming and saying something, and what she was saying was absolutely true. Notice what she was saying there in Acts chapter 16, verse 17. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. It was a perfect record she was giving. These men, Paul and Silas and the others, were the servants of the Lord. She was right in that. And she also acknowledged, now remember this is the demonic influence speaking through her, she was also saying that they were servants of the Most High God. The Almighty is the one true God. And the devil knows that. You remember what James wrote? That the devil believe in God and tremble. This woman was saying something else. Not only were these men the servants of the Lord, not only was God, the supreme being, but these men were showing the way of salvation. Do you see how orthodox the devil is in his belief? His big problem is, he knows God is true. He knows the Bible is true. But he hates God and he hates the Bible. But he knows that it's true. And day after day, notice not only the cause of this vexation, but the constancy of it. Day after day. Notice verse 10. It came to pass as we went to prayer. And then again in verse 18. This did she many days. And Paul was grieved with the whole business. There was a constant thing. There was a barrage of her saying this, and no doubt drawing attention of the passers-by. Now, why did she engage in this? Well, these are just suggestions. We don't know. It's just not said. But was it the hope of gain? Might you have felt by me saying this, the apostle and his party may give me some money because I'm giving public recognition to what he's about and to his God? Or was the wicked spirit in her seeking to be conciliatory and saying, I could be expelled here if I'm pleasant to these men, if I'm pleasant to Paul, he'll not turn on me and expel me? Was it a desire on her part to enhance her standing and her authority? She certainly was bringing discredit to God's cause Because Paul might have been thinking, the people that we are trying to reach will think we are associated with these fortune-telling people. And this young lady here, who is a recognized fortune-teller among them. It could well have been those reasons, or it may have been other reasons, we just don't know. But at any rate, we know that Paul was in touch with God, and Paul knew what was happening here. Notice also the circumstances of this vexation. Not only the cause of it, not only the constancy of it, but notice the circumstances. Back again in verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer. He probably was going to the prayer meeting in Lydia's house, or wherever there was a place set aside for prayer. Wherever it was, it matters not to us, he was going to pray. And this wee girl, day after day, came out with this utterance. And Paul was grieved. Paul realized that the devil was resisting prayer here. And my dear hearer, he always does that. I think I can speak for every Christian here that seeking to walk with the Lord will agree with me. That whenever we get down to prayer at times, it seems to be the hardest thing to do. And yet we know it's the most important thing to do and the most privileged thing to do, to walk by faith, enter by faith right into the presence of God in prayer. Why is that? Well, the flesh doesn't want to pray. The Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing. The world is an attraction. It doesn't want us to pray. And then the devil himself doesn't want it to pray. I came across this in the notes of Dr. Paisley one day, many years ago. We are troubled by the external foe, the world. We are troubled by the internal foe, our old natures, our flesh. And we are troubled by the infernal foe, the devil himself. And that's true. But it didn't end there. So we've seen the occupation that this young lady suffered. We have seen the vexation she caused. Now I want you to notice finally the transformation that she underwent. Notice what happened. We just stopped short of it in our last reading of the verse. Turn back now at verse 18. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. What a transformation. Some things to notice about it. First of all, the means by which it occurred. There was the action of Paul. We've already noticed that Paul was confronted with this day by day. The first day that he met her, or she met him, she was coming toward him and he was going in her direction that she was coming from. But then she turned about and followed him. And she kept doing it every day that Paul and his party were out and about or going to the place of prayer. So Paul took action. He addressed the foul spirit. I say unto thee. And then he commanded the spirit to come out of her. Paul had had enough. And this was it. But there was not only the action of Paul here. There was the ability of the Lord Jesus. Notice what Paul said in the middle of verse 18. I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. It was Christ who did it. It's not that Paul cast the evil spirit out. Paul was the vehicle through whom Christ worked. And that evil spirit had to vamoose. That evil spirit had to beat a hasty retreat. Why? Because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with all the sovereignty and authority he possesses, bade him go. Lord Jesus Christ. There's a tremendous story about that in the Gospels. Whenever the Lord Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee from the western side to the eastern side, the lake separated those two sides. There was a storm broke out on the lake. After the Lord Jesus and the disciples got into the boat. It may have been satanic. influence that brought that storm about. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was on his way over to the other side on one errand, and that was to heal the demoniac of Gadara, a man who was possessed with a legion of demons. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ confronted this poor man who had broken the chains that had bound him and was running about naked around the tomb, and the Lord came to him and confronted him, and the evil spirit, the chief one, said, I know thee who thou art. And the Lord Jesus Christ bade the evil spirits go. And before they went, they said, would you suffer us to go into that herd of swine? They had to ask permission of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord gave them leave. And that herd of swine, 2,000 of them, ran down a steep slope into the water and were drowned. Luke's account tells us they went out into the deep, and that's a word for hell, for the place of the damned. The Lord Jesus in complete control, and that wee girl experienced tremendous liberation from the mighty power of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's no habit too hard for the Lord to break, whether it's smoking or drinking or cursing or drug addiction, whether it's other sins that are not mentioned, but you know you're gripped in the vice-like grip of them. I want to tell you tonight, there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's power in the blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious sovereign. And he says in John 8, if the Son set you free, ye are free indeed. Why don't you come to him tonight and ask him to have mercy upon you? Ask him to save you, and he will save you. His blood can break the power of canceled sin and set the prisoner free. There was the means by which it occurred. Notice secondly about this transformation, there was the manipulation that had ended. No more were this wee girl's master manipulate her. Notice what we are told in verse 19. And when our masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Why was the hope of their gains gone? Because the evil spirit within her had gone. The wee girl was free now. She would not be getting involved anymore in witchcraft or fortune telling or dealing with familiar spirits. She would not be involved in that. And these men had come to the end of the line as far as profiteering from her circumstances was concerned. Oh, what a change. The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a change the Lord can make in your life, ladies and gentlemen and young people. He's waiting here to do it. The means by which this transformation occurred, the manipulation that it ended, and then notice lastly, the maltreatment it initiated. And we have that in that lengthier passage from verse 19 down to verse 24. And when our master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, and there are a number of things that happened here, you can find it in these verses, they hauled Paul off to the authorities, Paul and Silas. Verse 20. Verse 19, when our master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews. It's noticeable that they didn't say these men being Christians. Here's a very glaring instance of anti-Semitism. People hating the Jews. And they said, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. They weren't troubling the city at all. No trouble whatsoever. They were troubling these men that were profiteering from the wee girl. Verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. Nobody was foisting the truth of the gospel on them. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Hey, where was the trial? Plenty of allegation, plenty of accusation. But where was the evidence? Why did these rulers not say, right, you've brought these men before us, bring the facts, bring the evidence, and we'll try them? The magistrates were as corrupt as these other men with regard to this matter. My dear hearer, let me say it to you tonight, while we don't at this particular time suffer very much persecution, the way things are going, even with government legislation, it's going to be hard for some of the Lord's people who work in certain places to carry on with their Christian convictions and consciences and still hold on to their jobs. They're going to suffer great persecution for their love for the Bible and the things of the Lord. It went further here. Notice verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, that means they were flogged. They were flogged with a scourge that maybe hung at the end of the leather or a sheep bone. Many stripes. You can imagine the state of their backs being lacerated with all of this. And then after they were beaten with many stripes, we are told they were cast into the prison. Found guilty without any trial. And not only put into the prison, but the jailer was charged to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Thus, because these men were engaged in soul-winning evangelism, and the authorities didn't like it. Could I say to you tonight, my dear friend, that every one of us are supposed to be soul winners. But there may come times whenever we are carrying out our evangelism, the authorities may not like it. But we've got to be faithful just the same and nonetheless. Paul talks to Timothy about the instant in season, out of season. By that he means be diligent in your work when everything's going well for you, but be as equally diligent whenever things are not going well and it's hard and there are difficulties and dangers. And this is what we're learning whenever Paul and Silas and his party began to serve the Lord in Philippi. We saw the other night that it was a gentle conversion, lovely company, sitting down beside those people who were people given to prayer, may not have been Christians, but they were religious, and God moving in their midst and saving Lydia. But now this is out in the street when they're on their way to the church services. And there's a satanic influence here. But we've got to be faithful in getting the gospel to the lost, irrespective. Let me finish with this. The focus, of course, has been on this young lady. She was transformed. She was converted. She was delivered. She was set free. And that can be your experience tonight spiritually. If you will turn from your sin. Every one of us has sinned. And biblical repentance is a turning right round from it and going to the Lord Jesus. No matter what you have done in the past, there is forgiveness with thee, the Bible says, that thou mayest be feared. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Get to him tonight. Go to the Savior tonight. Go to the cross and receive him into your heart and life and surrender your life to him. And whatever problem, difficulty you have in your life, the Lord will deliver you and be with you in it, that you'll be able to deal with it from a new perspective, and he'll be your constant companion and shepherd and guide and Lord and Savior and friend from now to the end of your days on earth, and then he'll bring you safely into his everlasting kingdom. Will you make that decision tonight purposefully? Come to him and receive him into your heart and life. Let's bow together in prayer.